Author of the Week, featuring another great creator of narratives for the human race on Southside Broadcasting and Siren Radio.
My mind is back to spool time. Touched your skin and felt your fire inside. Fire inside. I long to feel your embrace, your hair, smell that leaves a trace of fire. Fire inside. Still that fire burns inside. No matter how I try, I burn. And all I see is ashes, but inside, inside I burn. A rainbow down on a cold dark day. That fire inside you kept on cold at me. Thoughts that burned in my mind. How I miss those eyes so filled with fire. Fire inside. Still that fire burns inside. No matter how I try, I burn. All I see is ashes, but inside, inside
we spoke to our next guest, and she was the author of the week back in November 2022. We were talking about, obviously, Sweet Lulu White and planting trees, and how actually, if she'd only been given a violin for Christmas as opposed to a guitar, maybe she would actually taken a completely different line in her career. But she's been continuing to make great music. We've just heard the latest incarnation, the latest song, I Burn. We're delighted to welcome back to the Midweek Drive the awesome Glenda Benavides. How are you, Glenda?
Good. Hi, Alex. How are you?
I'm good. And great to actually hear your music continues to empower and indeed impress, just as we knew it would And certainly the last thing we just heard, of course, I Burn, an absolute classic. I mean, I presume, though, there's not irony here insofar as the trees that were planted when people bought copies of Sweet Lily White aren't now being burnt on the basis of I Burn. I mean, there's not a connection on that basis, is there?
Wow, that's a great connection. I never thought of it like that, but oh wow. Yeah, since we've been having issues with burning, so is Portugal. It's been, or Greece, I should say. That's crazy. No connection. I Burn, it's kind of funny. It's like an old folk tale. My music partner and I, we co-wrote this, and he was telling me a story about a couple somewhere in the Midwest or whatever, because this is a story that's kind of been going around, right? About this couple where he finds her cheating. She goes to have relations with this person at this house. He follows them, and then he burns the house down with them in it. That was the beginning impetus of this story. And I never knew that. So I sang it from a place of like, I'm really passionate about this person. I'm in love with this person, you know, that type of thing. And I can't wait to be with them and see them. So that's how I took it. That's how I sing it. But I always thought that was interesting when I found out the story behind it. I was like, you've got to be kidding. Oh my
I mean,
goodness.
there's not a great deal of, shall we say, altruism in terms of that, really, but never mind. You know, maybe it's just
No.
all a matter of perspective, perhaps. So,
Perhaps.
in the nigh on 10 months since last we spoke, how's it been? Have you been continuing to sort of, obviously, we've just heard your latest single, and we're going to sort of reflect. And for those people who actually still haven't actually heard Sweet Lily White, we'll be playing that as well, because that is still a classic. How's it been for you over the year 2023 so far?
Actually, pretty good. I've just moved everything forward. I'm really excited. We're now submitting. We are actually have already submitted I Burn for the to the Recording Academy for a Grammy this year. So fingers crossed, get some notice there. And so we're excited about that. Voting starts next month. And I'm working on a wonderful retreat that we're going to be having. It's in the early stages for Soul on Fire slash Global Badass Goddess. So we're working on those type of retreat for artists, creatives that really want to step in and up level their career themselves. So we're excited about working on that. And yeah, so that's it's been good. We've been writing new music and getting ready for the next album for next year. So
Well, somebody who I always regard as a junior global badass goddess, but she's probably seen you before too long, is indeed our North Carolina correspondent. That would be Jessica Burtis. Jessica, I trust you've had a chance to listen to I Burn as yet from your North Carolina base in Charlotte. Any thoughts and any questions you'd like to put to Glenda?
yeah, I mean, it's very cinematic. I really liked it. It felt very epic. It was the kind of thing that you can picture a scene to. It was very wonderful. I'd love to know how you got involved in music and what started your love for it.
Wow, thank you. Well, I was 4 and I was hanging out with my dad. We were driving down the road and the radio was on and I just started singing with him. And then as I went into grade school and that type of thing, we were so fortunate to be able to have music classes. So that was just part of the curriculum, which I realize these days they don't do that. You have to do things privately. But so I was just really fortunate to messed around with music and just knew that that's what my gift and that's what I wanted to offer people. And so as soon as I hit like four, I think it was like, well, throughout school I'd been singing, so that wasn't an issue. That was super fun. And then I got an offer to actually sing for a wedding when I was 16, and I got paid. So that was my first big performance, paid performance. So I just knew that's what I wanted to
And how do you find the different aspects
do.
of putting together a song with the writing and the music and the sound of it? What kind of comes to you first?
That's a great question too. You know, it's different with every song. Sometimes, like I'm just working on a a song called Unbreakable. And for me, I really wanted to write a song that would deeply touch people and inspire them to just uplift them. And I was thinking, you know, it came more in the form of lyrics and an idea. So I really felt like, you know, we're all unbreakable. Sometimes it feels like we are breakable and it hurts, or we feel like we can't get up. But I wanted to say we can get back up. We are unbreakable. We are inspirational. So that's kind of the path that I went down for that song. other songs come to me musically. And if it speaks to me, I always say, let the music speak. And so either something comes up and I'll get lyrics. And then boom, then I start to write the song. So it's different every time. It's very unique.
I was fascinated by a track we're going to actually hear now, Glenda. At least the listener's going to hear it from that point of view. Beautifully Flawed, because you talked about Unbreakable there, and the video for Beautifully Flawed, which you could obviously see on YouTube as well from that perspective, is a wonderful. I mean, it's a whole collection. It's a montage of images that come across there, and human beings, and photographs effectively fading away and disseminating. And from that point of view, talk us through the process with respect to Beautifully Flawed and the inspiration behind that.
Yeah, you know, Beautifully Flawed, I again, I opposite of and connected to Unbreakable, but I was just thinking about how we're all flawed on some level, and it's beautiful, and that's what makes us unique. And I wanted to you were speaking about the montage on the video, and I really wanted to share a variety of relationships with each other. And so I was taking all the beautiful people that I had in my life and actually kind of honoring them. So I wanted to show, you know, this, you know, my a couple in Santa Cruz, a girlfriend of mine in Hungary, and a variety of different locations, different styles, different life paths, and I wanted to just honor that. So that was kind of the way I wanted to tell that story.
this suicide of denial. And now I see our love's a ravel shining on through. Oh, actions speak louder than words. Oh yeah, flaws. I'm beautifully, beautifully flawed. It's too late. Oh, your love is like a weeping willow. Yeah, yeah. I'm fatally flawed. I'm fatally flawed. I'm beautifully.
You are born in Oakland, California. Are you still West Coast based, or is it a case of I go wherever my heart is?
Both. No, I definitely live in California. I'm in Northern California. Actually, I'm about 35 minutes north of Oakland, in an area called Vallejo, so not too far from Berkeley. And on the in the Northern California area, and yes, I travel, so a little bit of both.
Well, you may well have
right
traveled.
Now I'm in a hotel room.
it's wherever the heart is, that's where it home its home makes, basically. To paraphrase a classic phrase, but it does actually open up the opportunity for Jessica as a North Carolina resident. To put a question to you we couldn't use on your debut of the program back in 2022 because Jessica wasn't with us then, but it all is to do with nutrition, and in particular two classic Northern Carolina delicacies, which I know Jessica's committed to actually spreading this throughout the world. So off you go, Jess.
Yes, I'd love to know if you've ever tried and if you liked tea or boiled peanuts.
Say that when you cut out one more time. You said boiled peanuts?
Yes, if you've ever tried, if you liked having sweet tea, boiled peanut, they're both very popular snacks where I'm from, and I think the East Coast, maybe we need to like give it to the West Coast. We can trade some food. You should definitely try it.
That sounds great. No, I haven't tried it. Is what's the medicinal nutritional value of boiling versus roasting?
It just changes the texture, and you just basically boil it with salt. It's so simple, but you know, it's not really, I don't think we really eat it for how good it is. We mostly eat it for the joy, just to have that little bit of spark of joy. You know, sometimes you need a little snack that's maybe not the best for you, but it's good for the soul, you know.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'll definitely love to try that. Sounds great. Are you in Asheville?
I lived very close to Asheville. It's so cool. I live in Charlotte, if you know it. And
yeah,
Asheville's beautiful though. I love the California mountains and North Carolina mountains. Mm. I like that the coasts have that in common.
Beautiful. Yeah. I want to come visit. My girlfriend's from Irmo, Carolina. I think that's south. That's just right on the border or something. Yeah. So anyway, they were just visiting. That's so funny. They go, come out. And I was like, oh, I'm going to shoot my next music video there. So I haven't done one for I Burn. So.
Yes. And have sweet tea and boiled peanuts while you're here. Is there any California, like food from California that you really enjoy?
Nothing that unusual. Probably I would say we'd go down, we're more of like, California is more of a place that kind of brings in a variety of foods. So I would say probably like a turmeric coffee. That is totally a California thing. A turmeric coffee or a
Yeah,
matcha something.
somehow I can't see turmeric coffee going down a storm in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm just saying, it's just a thought there. It would need quite a lot of marketing, serious marketing to actually progress that. But what the heck? Let's talk Lulu White, because again, we heard this last year when we spoke. An exceptionally beautiful, intelligent woman from Selma, Alabama, stepped out of the deep, dark bowels of the South and transformed herself into the richest, most influential, and powerful woman in New Orleans. Again, somebody which I certainly wasn't familiar with until last year when I heard your song track about her, 1917, of course, and the 20th century and the late 19th century and so on. Any plans to do any more with respect to celebrating Lulu White, or is it a case of I've already done a song for her? That's quite enough. She'll just have to be satisfied with that.
The way she walks, swinging like a clock in the middle of an earthquake. Voice is sweeter than butter biscuits on Sunday. Lips are so hot like a habanero buffet. Daybreak's coming and she'll make your heart ache. Voodoo queen sets a bed of delights. It's a story of fire. You better hang on tight. Sweet Lulu White, she says you're right. Sweet Lulu White, she's an appetite. Her freedom is a hustle and she takes the knocks. Mahogany hall for the women and it's payday. New Orleans was blinded by her lie, by her lie. Selling shades of chocolate was her kryptonite. Ticking clock. Time to set things up straight, not your mandate. Innocent, the vice will turn a blind eye. But they hit the queen of 1917. It's Lulu's
a great question, actually. There's no part two, but what I have been doing and what I am doing right now with more of the blues style, stepping into like a dance blues gospel feel. So I think it's more of what's unique about the South. What is it that needs to be said that no one's really talked about. You know, it's not all about, oh, heartache, or oh, this, or poor me, or whatever. You know, I think it's been done as a disservice. Whereas when you hear Lulu White, you know, we're talking about an inspirational woman for the 1800s. It's like, I wanted to share with other young women that, you know, you can do this. If that woman of color can do that in the 1800s, why can't we have a successful career? Why can't we step into our own empowerment? And that's a lot of what Global Badass Goddess does too. We talk about those kind of things. We have classes, we have, you know, workshops and stuff like that. So that's me wanting women to really step forward into who they are. And badass does not look like I'm going to beat you up and I'm cruel. You know, it's like, no, it's your own self-empowerment. What is that? What is that unique style? So I try to do that through the music too, try to share that, show that through the sounds, through the, you know, as she was saying, the cinematic feel and flavor, and just really uplift and elicit that, hey, I can be myself. What does that mean? How do I find that in me? What is my talent? What is my creativity? So that's, I think I'm going to go more that direction, continue down that path. Not so much part one and part two, but I'm sure there's other stories, kind of like what you were talking about with the peanuts. Although I don't think I'm going to sing about peanuts. Okay. That's where I think I'm going.
There's a sad gap there, Glenda, which I think, you know, you're missing out a huge sort of trick. If not the peanuts, then at least the sweet tea needs to have a song made up for the whole thing.
Absolutely. Well, you know what's interesting about the South is that it was originally founded with Scottish, you know, Scottish, Irish immigrants. And so that's a real big foundation. That's why you have sweet tea, because you had tea from, you know, earlier
from India.
Times. Originally from India, yes.
And China.
Stole it. And China, yeah. So, you know, I think there's a lot to be had, actually. A lot to be discovered, a lot to be explored. So I'll probably, maybe next month, pop over into the Carolinas and see what's up.
I'm sure Jessica would welcome you to actually move on from that point of view. Let's talk about One Tree Planted again, because I know this was something we alluded to earlier. On your website, of course, GlendaBenavides.com, you have the Plant a Tree by Music button. Talk to us about why this is such an important part of, again, the ecological notion of what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it's I've really started probably about a year or two ago. I've always been a philanthropist, but I really saw the need, obviously the burning. I've just watched last night, actually, a film called The Lost Century. And it really talks about, Dr. Stephen Greer actually talks about what we've been doing to ourselves and how can we get out. Basically, that's a nutshell, so to speak, peanut nutshell. And so I felt that's my part. I can step forward. I can do something. I can vote. I can speak my words. I can sing my words. I can, you know, take on a company that I think has value and integrity and say, look, I'm partnering with you. And I'm going to, every time you buy my music or every time you buy some of my merchandise, I will take $1 out of that and I will plant a tree. And it's beautiful because you can when you get on their site, you can see everything on there, like where they plant, you know, you can choose how and when you want to plant it, kind of stuff. It's like they have biodiversity. It's just fabulous. I just planted over 100 trees as of 2 days ago. So thank you to everybody for really supporting me as an artist and a business owner, because, you know, again, like, as I'm saying, yeah, you could go just directly to One Tree Planted, but, you know, come to my website, buy my products, support me as a woman, as an artist, as a philanthropist, and then I get to support them, you know? So it's a wonderful, healthy thing to do.
Jessica, back to yourself. More questions, please.
I'd love to know some about projects that you're working on that are coming up and what you're doing now that we're kind of halfway through September. And that's just wild. I can't believe the year is moving this fast. So, what
I
plans
know.
do you have?
Sorry, it's so early for me. I can't
No,
really
you're
speak.
good.
Well, what's next for me right now? I am designing and developing for Global Badass Goddess, a wonderful up-leveling of creatives and musicians. It's going to be a 90-day program for women or whoever, as long as you're a creative, as long as you really want to step forward in your full self-expression and freedom inside of who you are. So we get to look at that and delve deeply into what's stopping you. What are your challenges? So we're designing and developing that right now. And then after the 90 days, if you want, we're going to do a retreat at the end of the year. And the retreat's going to be in some fun location. I was thinking Greece first, and then I realized they're on fire. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I want to take anybody there. So maybe it'll be in Napa or something. I don't know. But we're not there yet. But if anybody's interested, that please inquire with me and send me an email or something, and I can share more about it. But that's what's next, and I'm really excited. And then we're getting ready to we have enough music. We have a lot of music, so we're putting together a wonderful collage of music that will be in either an album form or EP form. And so I do several genres of music, so that's going to be on the horizon. That's a lot of work. And then I have a wonderful group called Spiritualist Cabaret, and it's four artists. We're a musician, a tarot reader, a magician, and a visual artist. And it's all like very cinematic and movie-like, and we do a lot of immersive interactive with the audience, and it's fun and dark. It's very fun.
It
So
sounds like
we're
the cast for a very cool movie with your whole
right.
group. It should
Yeah,
be.
it is. It really is. We're looking for representation right now. If you go to the site, it's called spiritualistcabaret.com, and then you can watch a little video and everything of what we do. And it's building and developing, and it's very fun. We have a show come up on September 30th, so that'll be fun. I sing, obviously, in the show.
I said back in November 2022, Glenda, that you really should meet our regular East Coast correspondent and host of New York Real Talk, Pamela Sue Mann. I have a feeling, actually, Jessica, that Pamela would probably sort of relate to a lot of the material that Glenda puts together. And as musicians,
Yes.
there could be something quite interesting come out of that side of things, really.
A very
Oh, that would be
distinct sound.
fabulous.
It's so good.
Yes,
That would be
Pamela's
fabulous.
latest number, Pink Flamingos, of course, is something that's created a whole range of new things on the basis.
Love
Coming up
it.
later in this program, we're speaking to a fabulous author who's another fabulous author, actually, who's responsible for actually putting together a guide to apprenticeships. And I was actually thinking, in terms of the notion of apprenticeships, it's Ben Rowland who'll be joining us. What about doing an apprenticeship in terms of a musician? I mean, is that a feasible thing these days? I mean, because obviously you shared with us, Glenda, your own journey to becoming, the wonderful soul you actually are today from that point of view. Do you feel that maybe we need to return back to having kind of apprentice musicians, if you like, in terms of learning your craft, learning your skill, no matter what age you happen to be?
Absolutely. That's such a great comment, Alex. I'm actually working with the Recording Academy, so that's for the Grammys. And the Recording Academy has what they call Grammy University. And I'm definitely one of the mentors working with them. And so I like last semester we had a woman come in from Colorado, and I worked with her and got her to up level through my vocal coach who actually is in Greece. And it was fabulous working with her and really getting to look and discuss things. But this is the hard one. You can read, you can practice all you want, but if you're not out there on the mat doing something, you don't get the real life experience. And I think I have been fortunate to have worked in the industry in such a way where I'm actually performing all the time. I mean, I worked every night except for Sunday, and you know, traveled in vans and lived in hotel rooms. So, you know, when you're on the mat and you have that experience, it's nothing like it. It's nothing like it. You get to learn about yourself. You get to learn about people. You get to, I've been in front of audiences in Japan, Korea, Taiwan, you know, the US, Canada, the UK. And I'm telling you, every audience is different. Every person is different. And there's a different way to approach things and connect with people. And that's when the inspiration and the love and the great dialogue starts to happen. You know, and then we start to realize that we are all connected and that we all want love and peace and not, you know, disintegration and dissemination. It's like, oh my God, it's crazy. So we got, Jessica, we got our work cut out for us, right, Alex?
Yes. Yeah.
And does it get any easier, Glenda, in terms of the routines? I mean, clearly the industry has changed substantially. Since the 80s, 90s, and so on, the recording studios no longer have, in essence, the kind of domination they once had for good or ill on that basis. Do you feel as though actually here we are approaching the second quarter of the 21st century, things for musicians and artists in general are improving?
Upside, downside. They're improving in the sense of, oh, yay, I have a platform to play my music and a possibility for many people to hear it. A possibility, that is the word. The bottom line is, doesn't matter if you're a business or if you're with a record company, you still need a market. You have to understand your market. Who are you? What are you doing? And where are they? So I would suggest anybody do a business plan about yourself and what you're up to if you're going to be in the arts and entertainment industry. And then go after that. Upside, that it's now in my hands, right? Downside is you may or may not find the right groups of people to listen to. It takes a lot longer. There's not a lot of money involved. And if you are young enough and in the right place at the right time and they think that they can market you, you might, I'm going to say the word might, have an opportunity to be with a record label. The only reason to be with a record label is if, again, if you're really young and you're really, you know, they'll just destroy you. Anyway, sorry, that was an aside. Yeah, they'll pay for it, but guess what? It's a loan. It's a glorified loan. You'd be better to go to your bank and get $500,000 if you could. And, you know, pay 2% instead of like 4% or 100%. I mean, you know, you hear the horror stories and they are real. So I would say upside, downside to both sides. But, and again, the sharks are still there. Spotify is a shark. You know, you don't make any money.
You get 0.0003p or cent.
Thank you. Thank you. You did your research. I was just going to say that. So, you know, like I had streams of like, I don't know, 60,000 last month or something, 80,000 on one of my songs. And I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen a check from them, you know, and then you have to keep up on it. You have to like go after them. You gotta, you know, it's just, I could just go on for days on this.
But we are being positive, Glenda, and let's obviously maintain that focus thing. So you know, we work through that. Jessica, any other thoughts you've got you'd like to share?
I just love to know what you find to be the most rewarding part of the creative process, since so much of what you're doing is so based around creating and beginning things. So what do you find to be the best part of that? If you can pick one thing.
That's a really good question. I think it's that I'm such an entertainer. I'm such a people person that I think that whatever I have to share always has the intention of really supporting somebody, really helping somebody, really uplifting, really spotlighting that what they have inside of them is amazing, and that they just need to explore it and discover it, and that they too can step forward and use their creativity. Just because you work at, you know, maybe a menial job or whatever, I think it's really important to know that there's something inside of you that you can share. Maybe it's crocheting. I don't know. But, you know, it's like, I've seen some beautiful work like that. So there's something very unique and special about each one of us that we can actually dig deep, pull it out, get past my mother said I can't do anything, you know, type of thing, to here's what I did, you know. And it doesn't have to be massive or grand. It can just be, you know, just be sharing with your best friends, right? I think that's the best part of being creative and sharing my art form.
I agree. I think that's part of the arts, and not just creating it for yourself, but just the joy of sharing it and getting to share that with somebody else.
Exactly. Exactly.
Fairly profound moments to actually bring us around to a reprise of I Burn, which we're going to hear in a few moments. But it's also brought us around neatly to the last two questions, which I suppose we're going to have a third, basically. Hopefully we've actually helped wake you up in California, because I realize, you know, you're kind of not East Coast, but it's all we'll have to juggle this around for the next time slot. But Jessica, would you like to put those final two questions to Glenda, please?
Yes, I would love to. Glenda, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today?
Absolutely. You guys are great. You have great questions, great energy. So yeah, thank you. You really help the participant elicit what's really deep inside them. It's really,
I mean, it's been a lot better this time, obviously, because Jessica was with us. I mean, on your debut, it was just myself, basically. So yeah, it's infinitely better on that side, I think. So yeah, it's always on the up. Anyway, Jessica, second question.
Yes. Will you be joining us again soon?
I would be honored. I would love that. Yes.
Glenda Benavides, a musician extraordinaire and global badass goddess, obviously. Would you like to introduce yourself with I Burn, please?
Sure, everybody. Hi, welcome. And I forgot what you told me to say, but anyway, our next song is I Burn by Glenda Benavides.
My mind drifts back to spool time. Touched your skin and felt your fire inside. Fire inside. I long to feel your embrace, your hair, your smell that leaves a trace of fire. Fire inside. Fire burns inside, no matter how I try, I burn. And all I see is ashes, but inside, inside, I burn. A rainbow down on a cold, dark day, that fire inside you kept the cold at bay. Those thoughts that burned in my mind, how I miss those eyes so filled with fire. Fire inside. Still that fire burns inside, no matter how I try.
Understanding Apprenticeships, A Student's Guide. It sounds like the ideal book title if you're a little confused and you're not sure what to do with your life and times and so on. Well, we're delighted to actually welcome the author of Understanding Apprenticeships, A Student's Guide, to the program today. That's Ben Rowland. How are you, Ben?
I'm really well. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Great to connect with your good self. And this particular text does seem to be much needed and also provides guidance and advice to school leavers who might not be considering university as an option for them, or they may be considering it, but then they may not have even thought of the apprenticeship route.
That's exactly who it's for. And it's amazing that, you know, if you go into any school, any college, and ask the careers advisor for the books they have on guiding their students at say university or to careers generally, they'll probably have quite a few. Ask them if they've got one on apprenticeships, and until today their answer would have been no, which is it's a huge gap, which I feel very privileged that I've had the opportunity to help fill that gap and provide something which pulls together in one place I think lots of the key information that young people need to have when thinking about what are these apprenticeship things, are they right for me?
Now, you've been obviously responsible over the last 10 years for a whole variety of apprenticeship aspects. In fact, you've actually had a groundbreaking program which has brought on board nearly 10,000 people with careers, etc. So, you know, it's not as though you've just written this overnight, really. You've got a lot of things to actually detail with respect to that.
It absolutely is the product of 10 years of working with young people and their parents and the line managers in their employers, and talking to their siblings and talking to their friends, to understand, you know, from their perspective, what an apprenticeship really is, what it means, but also what are some of the things you need to watch out for? What are the things that can go wrong, as well as all the things that can be amazing about apprenticeship? So yeah, it's basically been a 10 years in the making, this book, so it's quite an exciting day for me today when it's finally been published.
There are a lot of blue chip employers like Barclays, the civil service, of course, Google, and so on, who do take the apprenticeship route. Is that something which is pretty much, again, one of those hidden bits of knowledge that people aren't aware that there are these routes into very sustainable and very important careers?
I think there isn't enough awareness. We did some research in the run-up to the book, and actually there's a whole ton of people who are still not confident about giving advice on apprenticeships. I know, I mean, my brother is a teacher, a secondary school teacher, and he doesn't really know much about them, and his colleagues don't know much about them. So it's improving, it's changing. But one of those things is, you know, who people think they're still quite traditional apprenticeships, you know, and those still exist, and they're brilliant paths for people who want to get into those really well-paid plumbing and electrician jobs. But what people don't know is that it is those, you know, blue chip banks, consulting firms, you know, the likes of PwC and Accenture and IBM, really exciting careers. And the apprentices start on really good salaries in these places. Sometimes the starting salary for an apprentice is like 30K, which is better than the average graduate starting salary. So it is a little bit of a secret, but I don't want it to be a secret anymore. And I think, you know, lots of other people are beginning to realise this too. So it's exciting.
Can you share with us details about the UK government's apprenticeship levy?
Yeah, so the levy is has been a big change actually in apprenticeships. It wasn't just, and by the way, it wasn't just the levy. There are some other reforms that they brought in to improve the quality and the brand of apprenticeships at the same time, which in some ways have been just as important. But what the levy does is it ensures that every large company puts aside money which is dedicated to training apprentices. So that means that, I mean, they can choose not to do it, but that money then contributes to smaller companies who might want to do apprenticeships as well, but who aren't big enough to pay the levy. So what it's meant is that lots of those companies, so, you know, take for example Google. We started working the program that I set up with Google long before the levy, and they loved it. But when the levy came along, it was a real opportunity for them to say, look, we're already doing this, but actually we can do even more. And now we've got that extra nudge to do a little bit more. And then the likes of, that's true for some of the other big firms who I've mentioned as well. They're kind of experimenting with it, thinking, yeah, this is pretty good. And the levy came along and gave that financial push to say, well, hold on a minute, we've done it. It's working at scale. It's working already in a sort of the smaller scale. We might as well, increase it and do even more.
And you've got two teenage children yourself, of course, Ben. Have they made their decision as yet? Is it a case of, I want to be an author like my dad?
No, thank goodness, no. They haven't expressed any interest in doing that, which I'm totally happy with. But the older one is really interested in medicine. And, until very recently, that meant if she wanted to be a doctor, you had to go to university. Actually, from January next year, the first medical apprentices will start who will become fully qualified doctors, going through all the same training, all the same with all the same academic rigor, but they're going to be paid and working in medical facilities from day one. It's extraordinarily exciting and a real tribute to the NHS for a really far forward thinking initiative to open up medicine to people who can't afford to go to university. It's brilliant.
This also does seem to carry with it notions of the old game in journalism, where people actually didn't used to go to university to do a journalism degree to enter that, but they used to actually do their indentures at local newspapers and local press as well. Do you think we're kind of coming full circle to that as well?
Yeah, I think so. And and journalism is one example of that. I think, things like law and accountancy. So accountancy used to go and get your articles. You left school, did national service or whatever, and then got your articles, and you didn't need to go to university. Well, that's coming back full circle. So the first case study in the book, there's nine case studies of apprentices, nine case studies of employers. The first one is someone who's doing an accountancy apprenticeship at Grant Thornton, who's going to end up being a qualified chartered accountant. And in fact, she says that some of her mates who are doing accountancy at university are coming to her to ask for technical advice on what they should be writing in their essays, because she's doing it for real.
Your book is, of course, entitled Understanding Apprenticeships, A Student's Guide. Is it available in e-format as well? Or do you have social media as well that people can access the things through?
The best place to go still is Amazon to get the book. And they say that if you order it, it will be with you in the next few days. So Amazon is probably the best place, the simplest place to go to get that. We've got huge take up from schools and colleges actually, buying the books on behalf of their students. So it may well be, people should perhaps go and ask if they're at school or at college to go and ask them and say, can they get the copy? And then that would be a good way to do it.
Fantastic. Ben Rowland, author of Understanding Apprenticeships, A Student's Guide. Many thanks indeed. I presume we could also look forward to a kind of portmanteau approach here, insofar as it doesn't preclude people from going to university later on in life, or indeed presumably becoming an apprentice after they've been to university.
Brilliant, brilliant point. I think there is huge pressure on young people today to make the decision, as though it's only one and that it's going to set their path for the rest of their life. It's just not. We know that's not true. But actually, you're spot on. People can go to university, and one of the changes that the levy reforms brought about was that if you had a degree, you could now do an apprenticeship. And lots of people are doing that, perhaps wishing they'd done the apprenticeship first. And then, of course, lots of people who do their apprenticeship get in their career, and then a bit later go, do you know what? I really want to go to university to study this subject in much greater depth, or want to go back and do an arts degree because it's always, that's something they've always wanted to do. Absolutely right. And I think it's a really cool point, Alex, that you raise. Yeah.
Ben, many thanks indeed. Take care and
thanks for having me.
Keep on with your excellent work.
Thanks, Alex.
just a loudmouth Yankee, I went down to Mexico. I didn't have much time to spend, about a week or so. There I lightly took advantage of a girl who loved me so. But I found myself thinking when the time had come to go. What am I doing hanging around? I should be on that train and gone. I should be riding on that train to San Antonio. What am I doing hanging around? She took me to the garden just for a little walk. I didn't know much Spanish and there was no time for talk. Then she told me that she loved me not with words but with a kiss. Thinking of a train I could not miss. What am I doing hanging round? I should be on that train and gone. I should be riding on that train to San
your chances come but once, and boy, I sure missed mine.